Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here, and as our friend Alan Friedman calls me, Mr. Wallflower, the shy retiring type. Alan Friedman is our guest this half hour. He's the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. I'm holding one right in front of me, the indispensable reference on computers and really all things technology. But he's our longtime member of our Brain Trust now. Over 5 years he's been on the Brain Trust. And more importantly, though, he's our good friend. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure, and congratulations on your reward. And you can say something shy and retiring now.
Yeah. Oh, shucks. And happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
It's your which anniversary of your 39th birthday is this?
Which anniversary? I'm getting into.
It's hard to even count up those numbers, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And what's the news in the world of information technology? You know, Alan, the news coming out of the economy indicates that technology is really contributing significantly to productivity, isn't it?
It is. It always has been. Definitely are doing more with technology. There's no doubt about it. Question, of course, is what is the productivity worth? But that's another issue. But yes, we're doing a lot of stuff with computers all over the world. No doubt about it.
Well, you know, Alan, the couple of things that I've noticed recently. A couple of months ago, there was an article. I guess in early October, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about a report that showed that manufacturing jobs had declined worldwide by 12%, and as much as 15% in China. And the reason was because of increased productivity, made employees more productive, and technology made employees more productive. Therefore, they needed fewer employees, and the reason was technology.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. You know, they said many, many years ago that if we wouldn't have had computers, everybody would be working for the telephone company.
Right.
Or if we wouldn't have had any of the data processing tools that started even in the 30s, we'd all be working for the telephone company, just handling telephone bills. So, I mean, it had to come with a population explosion.
We already have an example of what happened in the earlier part of the last century in terms of agriculture. You know, when the 20th century emerged, there weren't too many people in America who were very far away from the land. I mean, you know, just about everybody had a little garden or something, and many people, there were a very high percentage of Americans, were involved in agriculture. Today, something like 2% of Americans are involved in agriculture, and we're basically feeding not only ourselves but a large part of the world. That 2%, man, because of technology and developments that we have in improving technology.
I mean, you know, you can be idealistic and say that but the technology eventually will handle everything that we need, and three quarters of us can do whatever we feel like.
Well, what
changes the whole world around.
Would that be a good thing?
I think it would be wonderful. I think people that don't want to work shouldn't work. I think those that do should. And you know what? You're going to find there's always going to be a number of people that really enjoy working, and they're going to do a lot better job at it.
Yeah.
And if you have the technology, provide us with all the things. 6 billion people and growing, why not? And if elected,
I'd vote for you, Alan.
That's good. I got one vote. I should start my political career in my retirement.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, the I don't know if I told you this or not, but I talked to the general manager of a paper mill, a greenfield paper mill, meaning there's a brand spanking new plant. And I asked him how many employees he has. He says he has 400. I said, how many of them use technology in their business, in their jobs? some kind of technology, computer automation of some kind. And he said 100%.
Uh-huh.
And he said the plant that I built 10 years ago and started running 10 years ago, the same plant with the same production as this plant will have, it took 800 people to operate. 10 years later, half the people, but 100% using technology. So what does that tell people about if you're out of work and you don't know how to use a computer, you don't know how to address a keyboard, that doesn't take it's not very hard to figure out where your next training ought to come from.
Yeah, that's very true. Typing is an essential skill these days, although in time perhaps it won't be important at all.
But it may not be. If you can speak, yeah. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Alan Friedman. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the free newsletter that we send out every week, and I write it myself, and we're now in our fifth year with our newsletter, and check it out when you get a chance. The feature article this week, is A Time for Everything, Including Change. It's how to think about and deal with change, and Alan Friedman, change is, nothing's really changed in a lot of ways. I think it's safe to say that nothing's really changed under the sun in the last, several thousand years. A computer is no more of it's just a piece of technology, but so is a wheel. But the difference is the speed at which these changes are happening. That's what's really the news as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's part of it. But, I mean, if you think about anything in history, nothing has impacted the world more than the computer.
Right.
They say the Internet is the greatest thing that's ever happened. The Internet would have never even existed.
That's right.
Better look at the underlying cause.
Right, exactly. Alan, what about, let's move over and talk about a different kind of computer, and that's the kind of computer that we have in our digital cameras. You know, those are pretty cool things. I've got one now. You've got 25 or 30. I know, and because you're about digital cameras the way women are about shoes,
uh-huh.
And notice he's not arguing with me, folks. He knows.
Oh, I only have four.
Okay, yeah, right. Anyway, so that's four in the room that he's in right now, folks. But one of the interesting things about digital cameras to me, Alan, that they're very handy, they're very convenient. There are all kinds of business applications you can use. And we use them in our business, but the media, the output that you have. I mean, used to you take pictures, you take the film to the drugstore, get it developed, and you pass the pictures around and you take them to people and show it to them. But now the pictures seem to stay in our computers and in our cameras. And how do we get them out of our cameras and where people can see them?
How do you get them out of the cameras? Well, you can do it a lot of different ways. Just take the memory card out.
Oh, I know how to do that. I'm talking about actually physically. I'm talking about getting it in front of people. I mean, otherwise you
gotta... Okay. Well, actually, that's interesting. You should say that because we're experimenting with a neat little program called Paint Shop Photo Album.
Yeah.
And what it does, it's a slideshow creator. And there's lots of these around there, but this one is particularly nice. You collect your images after you've got them into the computer. Around, you can add a soundtrack, and what's really nice about it is when you're ready to send them out or burn them on a CD for your family or your friends, there is a player that gets installed. You can say install the player, and the player is free, and the player then allows somebody to take the CD that you burned with the player on the CD, run the player, and your slideshow goes automatically with transitions automatically. And
then what do you do with it? All right, so. We've got the slide. We got the pictures put in the slideshow. We got the player. Then what do? We email it to somebody?
No. It would be too big. It would be something you burn on a CD.
Okay, so you got to give.
Probably would be 50, 100 megabytes.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds pretty big, and so you got to put it on a CD.
Yeah, this is for burning CDs and mailing them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But then somebody's got to put it in their computer and they got to use it. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is as great as the digital cameras are and as much as I love my new one, still, it's just not the same. I mean, it's still a little bit not convenient to get the images. I mean, I've taken a lot of pictures that nobody's ever seen.
Yeah, but you know, if you think about the days of slide projectors, you still had to put the slides into the cassettes, into the carousels. You still had to organize them. Either that or you sat there with a pile looking at them over a light table. So,
but most of the time, if we want to share pictures, though, we got them put on 4x6 paper.
That's true. Well,
you
can still print. There's wonderful little tiny photo printers out there that are very inexpensive. I mean, you know, that's
That's the only thing. That's the only thing to me that's unfortunate about. It's not unfortunate, I guess. It's just a little bit different about the digital cameras is the way you get the media out of there. I mean, I've got a lot of pictures, as I said, that's nobody's ever seen because I haven't printed them out, and it's fairly expensive, the paper.
Well, that's why a CD is better. You know, if you put them together and it takes some organization, a CDR disc costs you 30 cents.
Right.
Put 100 pictures. 200 pictures, whatever.
Let's talk about something else that's coming up and that's popping up in my life right now, maybe in some other folks' lives. I'm sure it is, probably in yours too. And that's this issue of spyware. Give us the definition of spyware.
It's a program in your computer that's taking information from your computer and sending it to a website, to a company to analyze it.
And this is, how does the spyware get on your computer?
You install it. Install it a lot of times by a download that.
But you don't do it intentionally, though, right?
It's because you don't read the 1,600 paragraphs in the agreement that at the very bottom says, by the way, we're installing this program, and that program. Mm-hmm. They actually do say so most of the time. And who reads the agreement when you install something?
I thought some spyware could come in through email, through spam, and when you open the email, it installs spyware on your.
Well, only if you open something that's an executable, which nobody in their right mind.
No. I haven't done that. But I've got some spyware on one of my computers right now, and I don't remember. I mean, I don't know how it got there. And it's all it is pop up advertisement.
Well, pop ups are coming also just from the websites themselves. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, it happens. It pops up on its own. I'm not even, you know, my browser's not even up. It launches my browser itself.
I see.
I'm going to get Alan to help us figure this out right after these messages. Because, folks, there is software that you can get that blocks the spyware. And we're going to get Alan to tell us how to get that right after these messages. Fintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Alan Friedman is our guest, and he's the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. It's an outstanding resource, folks. You can buy it in stores in a book form with a CD in the back, by the way, but he also has a CD that you can buy all by itself, and also one you can download this capability. You can subscribe to quarterly updates. I get a different one, a new quarterly update every 3 months. And Alan, tell us how we can do that, please.
Our website is computerlanguage.com. Get a subscription right at the website.
Computerlanguage.com, and so
language.
Check that out when you get a chance. And can they take a little test drive there, by the way?
Absolutely. They can test drive the entire product.
Yeah, so check that out, folks. If you've got a question, a technology question you'd like to know about, and go to computerlanguage.com and ask the expert there, who's the guy you're talking to, right? You're listening to right now. Alan, let's go back to the spyware thing a minute. I've got a computer that's got something on it. It's a little bug of some kind. It's not a virus. It's a little piece of spyware that literally launches my player, my browser, I should say, on its own, and when it pops up ads, and so it's some kind of a piece of spyware, and I'm shopping around for spyware blocker, and I don't know which one to use. Well, you got any suggestions?
Well, SpyCop is an old one. I think it was one of the first ones that should still be around and pretty good. There's one that's also very popular called Ad Aware.
Uh-huh.
And there are another 30 or 40 of them. I've downloaded a bunch of them. I found some of them to be a little strange, wondering whether they're all adding spyware or looking for spyware.
I had a guy on the show recently who has that software, one of those pieces of software. It's called Anonymizer.
Uh-huh.
And so I think I'm going to try his out maybe and see if I can use it to... And now, spyware is tracking your activity online, right?
Well, it can be doing that. It can be just giving you advertisements. It supposedly isn't doing any harm. But what it does do is often slow down your computer.
And it annoys the heck out of you. But also, doesn't the spyware blocking software... also give you anonymity when you go out online so that you don't leave cookies and so they can't trace back to you?
Well, that's the whole purpose. You're trying with spyware blockers, you're trying to detect the spyware and hopefully uninstall it. Sometimes you can't uninstall it, and sometimes you have to sort of just prevent the action.
Yeah.
It's a new area that every time some program attempts to do something, some other clever spyware creator finds a way around it. Pop-up blockers are another offshoot of this.
It's a kind of cyber terrorism.
Oh, the whole thing is terrible. It's as bad as spam. It's really awful.
Well,
what do you do? You know, that's the greatest question in the world. What do you do? There are people that you're amazed how many people are trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
Just like how many thousands of people are trying to figure out what to do with spam.
Well, you know, there was a law signed in recently about spam and about getting trying to deal with spam. Have you followed that bill?
I haven't followed the details, but I think we just have to wait and see if anything really happens. I think the only way to eliminate spam is to start charging for email.
That's blasphemy.
I would be willing to pay 3 cents an email.
No. That's blasphemy. We don't need to be doing that. I'm taking my vote away from you, Alan. I'm not voting for you now.
I don't have any vote. No more vote. Zero vote.
No,
then?
I'm not voting for you. If you're gonna charge me for spam for email,
no.
I'm not gonna vote for you. So
you can decide on your own. You're
well, one of the things we got to do is we got to get people playing by the rules. There are rules for internet marketing, and the spammers don't play by those rules. And
set up a company offshore, Jim. You don't have to be in the United States.
I didn't say they were in the United States. I just said that there are people who don't play by the rules. There are rules, and there is a protocol for internet marketing that works. It works, and it is productive. And we got to figure out how to make the spammers play by those rules. Alan Friedman, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
Computerlanguage.com.
Computerlanguage.com. Folks, check out Computer Desktop Encyclopedia there, and pick up his book when you're at the bookstore as well. And I'm sure it's available at Amazon too, isn't it, Alan? Thank you for being here. We'll talk to Alan later. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.